Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this Sunday morning. Give God thanks that you are all here this morning. We had kind of a washout last night in this area with some of the power was out, but we do give God thanks that the power is back on and we are able to be here this morning. I know several people are away traveling, and but again, we give God thanks for this opportunity to be here this morning to worship and praise the name of the Lord. We just ask that you just continue to go to our webpage to stay abreast of developments here at Olney Presbyterian Church, particularly as we approach the fall. September, after the summer vacation, we hope to be again gradually coming back online. But again, our way of communicating is via our webpage. So please go there and to stay abreast of everything happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church, particularly as we continue to negotiate this pandemic. Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the book of Ephesians. We will probably be in the book of Ephesians for the remainder of the summer. It's such a powerful little book, and it's also a timely little book. But we want to look at, we read part of it last week. We want to read part of it this week. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, verses 11 through 22. So let us listen to God's word for us. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near, for through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I think it's important for us to, from time to time, to remember where we came from. I know sometimes we can be so focused on where we are at and focused on where we are going that we don't take the time to look back and perhaps remember where we have come from, remember the journey in which we have gotten where we are. I was listening not long ago to a very successful businessman here in the city of Philadelphia whose success was being celebrated. And he wanted everyone to know that he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He recalled how terribly difficult his early life had been. He grew up very poor in the streets of Philadelphia. Was often, he said, in and out of trouble, didn't do very well in school. Everything, in fact, suggested that he was going to be one of those dire statistics that we often hear so much about. But then someone took an interest in him. Can't remember if it was a teacher or a coach or maybe someone in the community, but they took an interest in him, and they essentially adopted him, brought him into their family, helped him to get his life together, moved him in the right direction so that he was able to become the success that he is today. But he wanted everyone to know that despite his success, he always remembers. He remembers where he came from. Remember where you come from. Remember. That's the message that the Apostle Paul has for all of us this morning. That's the message that he has for the little congregation in Ephesus. It's the message that he wants all of us to remember. That even though we are now all a part of this household of God's people, this wonderful household of God's people, Paul says we need to remember the past. We need to remember where we come from. Remember, he says. Remember who you once were. We all have ways, I think, of dividing the world up. We have ways of retreating into our various tribes, have ways of dividing up the world, black and white, rich, poor, urban, suburban, conservative, liberal, red state, blue state, educated, non-educated, male, female. We have all kinds of ways of dividing the world up. And in Paul's day, they had ways of dividing the world up too. In Paul's day, one of the ways that people divided themselves was Jew-Gentile. Jews, of course, were God's chosen people. They were the people of God. They were people of the promise. They were the light of the world. They were the people who would one day inherit the whole world. And so Jews were God's people. They were the people who were close to God. So if you were a Jew, you took pride in that fact, that you were the people of God. And then, of course, there were Gentiles, and Gentiles were everyone else, everyone who was not a Jew. Romans were Gentiles, Greeks were Gentiles, Corinthians were Gentiles, Galatians, Ephesians, they were all Gentiles. And that's not all, of course, but everyone who was not a Jew is a Gentile. Today, Canadians are Gentiles, Nigerians are Gentiles, Mexicans are Gentiles, and so are all of us. We too, we Americans, we are all Gentiles. But thanks be to God, all of us who are now in Christ, even us Gentiles are now part of God's chosen people. We are all people who have God's blessings lavished upon us. We are God's new humanity. But Paul says, remember. Remember you Gentiles. Remember where you came from. Remember who you were. Remember. I always wonder why Paul would want us to remember what we once were. I've often been engaged in the enterprise of trying to help people to forget what we once were, to accept our identity as God's people, to forget about all the other categories that come to divide us. But Paul this morning says we need to remember. Remember what we were. Well, let's face it, sometimes remembering can be terribly difficult for all of us. Remembering can be dangerous. It can be painful. It can sometimes be traumatizing. It can even be a bit embarrassing to remember. There may be a lot of things that we, in fact, don't want to remember. Some things that we may not want to remember, of course, may be the things that we ourselves have done. Things that we have done to other people. Ways that we have treated other people. Ways that we've excluded other people. Ways that we might have hurt other people. We may not want to remember those things, especially if we have this idealized version of ourselves as being basically good people, basically decent people. We don't want to remember any of that. I signed up a few days ago to the Facebook page of one of my former units that I was a part of 40 years ago when I was stationed in Germany, the 8th Infantry Division, and they have a Facebook page, and you could, for 8th ID veterans, and so I, at the prompting of a friend, signed up to that page and went to their web page and was going down memory lane. They had pictures of, you know, the old barracks, Rose Barracks, and I was just taking a trip down memory lane, the place that I called home for 3 years there in Bad Kreuznach, Germany. And just looking at some of the posts from people who were once a part of the 8th Infantry Division during its creation. It's no longer there, of course. The unit has been dissolved. It's a unit that has a long providence from since World War II. But just reading some of the posts of people who were a part of the 8th ID over the years. And as I was looking the other day, I noticed that there was a post that was, the name was familiar. And I noticed the name because the name was from my old roommate. My own roommate there in Rose Barracks 40 years ago, Jack. And just good to see Jack. He still looked the same, but they had a deal where you could message him, and I was getting ready to do that. I was getting ready to message him and say, "Hey, Jack, it's Randy, remember me?" But before I did that, I thought, you know, better not do that. What if he remembers? You know, what if he remembers some of the mean things I had done to him at one time? What if he remembers the fights we used to have? We used to have some knockout, drag-out fights sometime. And so I didn't reach out to him because I was just afraid maybe he would remember. Some of the things we may not want to remember because of the way we've treated people. Some things we might not want to remember, we might not want to remember it because they are things that, not because of what we have done, but perhaps we don't want to remember it because there are things that have been done to us. Have you ever tried to repress something? A painful experience, painful things that were done to you. I was listening to a fellow pastor not long ago who was talking about her high school years and her high school experiences, and she was sharing how much she hated her high school years. We were talking about high school reunions, and she said she didn't go. She never goes to her high school reunions because she just hated high school so much. It's just a bad experience for her. She said she really didn't have any friends. She wasn't very popular. She wasn't ever invited to go to any of the parties. Kids used to laugh at her clothes, the clothes she wore. People used to make fun of where she lived, where she was from. She just felt awkward and alone and ashamed. And she says she still kind of wrestles with those feelings, but she said she just never looks back on that period of her life. She just kind of blots it all out. That's one strategy. It's one way of dealing with things. We can blot out our painful memories, but I don't think we can ever really blot everything out. It's going to come back in one way or another, but it's just part of it, part of reminding ourselves that remembering can be difficult. It can be painful. These, of course, are just mild examples of remembering, painful remembrances, difficult memories. Indeed, some of the painful conversations that we are having right now as a country, conversations that reveal the deep divides and rifts in our country, are all centered around remembering. What should we remember? How should we remember it? Should we even remember? Should we forget? I was reading an article recently about a controversial book called Forget the Alamo, I think is the title of the book, Forget the Alamo. It's obviously a play on the well-known phrase, remember the Alamo, but it's about remembering. Remembering or forgetting, or what we remember, what we want to remember, what we choose to forget. But as a country, as a society, we are deeply enmeshed and deeply embroiled in this conversation about remembering. Recognizing that remembering can be difficult and painful at times. But Paul in our text this morning says, remember. He says, you Gentiles, including you American Gentiles, you need to remember. Even though you're now included into this household of God's people, even now you are considered to be the people of God, even though you are now considered to be God's chosen people, even though you are now people that has God's blessings lavished all over you, remember. Remember that at one time you didn't belong. At one time, you were considered to be atheoi, without God. At one time, you were derisively called the uncircumcision in a world where circumcision was the mark of inclusion. Remember that at one time, you were not citizens. You were strangers and aliens, people on the wrong side of a dividing wall. At one time, you couldn't eat at the same table as God's people. At one time, you couldn't even worship in the temple. There were walls and barriers that prevented you from being able to come into the temple and to worship at the temple. Remember, at one time, you were not the chosen. Someone else was chosen. Someone else was the chosen people. You were not chosen. Despite your wealth, you were not chosen. Despite your power, you were not chosen. Despite your technical prowess, you were not chosen. You were not one of the chosen. Someone else was chosen. You need to remember that. And as I said earlier, I don't know why in the world Paul would want us to remember that. Isn't that what we want to forget? Don't we want to forget that? Don't we want to forget the past? Isn't that the reason that so many people are fighting? Isn't that the reason there's so much division? Isn't that the reason we're all at each other's throats? Because we're constantly remembering and balkanizing and retreating into our various tribes, claiming our tribes. Why would we want to remember any of that? Paul says we need to remember. Does he just want us all to wallow around in our painful memories, or does he want us to wallow around in our former exclusion? Why does Paul want us to remember? Why is that important? Well, I think it has more to do with Paul wanting to bolster within us a deep spiritual humility and a concern for the plight of others. You see, if we remember that at one time we didn't belong, it might move us to more sympathetic considerations of all of those in the world who don't belong, for whatever reason or another. If we remember that at one time we were all non-citizens, at one time we were all strangers and aliens, it might prompt us to be less contemptuous of the aliens and strangers in our midst. If we remember that at one time we were all on the wrong side of a dividing wall, we may be less eager to build walls and more willing to tear them down. If we remember that we were initially not included, that we were not the chosen, it may set our hearts towards all those who are the unchosen in our world. But I think the main reason that Paul is inclined to have us to remember is because if we forget where we come from, we might easily forget how we all got here. How we all came to be included in this household of God's people, in this beautiful structure that is God's people. We got here not because of our good works. We got here not because of our birthright. We got here not because of anything that we did. We got here not because we were initially chosen. We didn't get here because of our good looks. We didn't get here because of our goodness. We didn't get here because of our strength. We didn't get here because of our power. We didn't get here because of anything like that. But it was all the result of grace, of God's grace. As Paul says earlier in chapter 2, by grace you have been saved. It wasn't because of anything that we did. Indeed, if you go back and look at our passage carefully this morning, you'll find that we are all related to or are talked about in the passive tense. We didn't do anything. And God is talked about in the active voice. It is God in Christ who has called us. It is God who has made a decision for us. It is God who took an interest in us. It is God who adopted us. It is God who made us a part of God's family. It is God who has built us into this beautiful household of God's people, this beautiful structure that has Christ as the cornerstone. Everything is grace. Everything was God. God did it all. It is God who has built us into this beautiful structure with Christ as the cornerstone. If you're into old photos, you might take some time to go over to the church office and look at some of the old photographs on the wall. There's a number of old photographs of the church as it was being constructed, this church building as it was being constructed a long time ago. Over 100 years ago, 1903, but it's different pictures of the church under various types of construction. And one picture in particular caught my attention. It's a picture of a man by the name of John Converse, who was a big mover and shaker here in Philadelphia, a big mover and shaker here in the Presbytery of Philadelphia. He was once on the board of Presbyterian Hospital, but he's a big mover and shaker. But he's there, and he is dedicating the cornerstone. The cornerstone, you know, the stone that orients the building. It's the stone that kind of sets everything, sets the direction and the location, and it just kind of orients everything. But Mr. Converse is dedicating the cornerstone of this building. And if you go outside of the back door here, take a right, you can still see that refurbished cornerstone. It has 1903 on it, but it's the cornerstone of this building, this church that has been here in this neighborhood for over 117 years, this church that has been here for all those many years. It was built by the members of Bonnie Presbyterian Church. But of course we know that the church is not a building. The church is people. The church is all of us. The church is people from every walk of life, from every persuasion, from every background. The church is all of us. It's all of us with the Lord Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. We are built. We are a new structure, a new temple that God has built. God has built us. God has remembered us. God has called us out of the membership of the world, has called us out of the categories of the world, and has remembered us into this new structure. This new humanity, this new people. This new people that has Christ at the center of it. And it is all because of God's grace. It is all because of what God has done. So Paul reminds us this morning that none of us can boast. This beautiful household, this beautiful family that we are all a part of, this wonderful people of God that you and I are, this wonderful community where the walls have come down, where we have torn down the walls that divide us, this wonderful people where the things that tears the world apart doesn't have any power among us. Race doesn't have any power among us. Gender doesn't have any power among us. Money doesn't have any power among us. We don't care what political persuasion you might be. None of that has any power over us. We're this new people that has Christ as the cornerstone, and none of it is our doing. It's all because of God's grace, God's love. But Paul says, remember where you come from. Remember that you didn't have anything to do with it. It's all because of the great love that I have for you and the great love that I have for the world, that I took an interest in you, that I adopted you, that I have called you my own. Remember where you come from. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning for your grace that you have lavishly poured out upon all of us. We recognize this morning that without you, we would still be where we're at. We would still be ensconced within the categories of this world. We would still be fighting among each other. We would still be divided among ourselves. But you have called us out of all of that. You have called us out of the darkness of this world. You have broken down the walls that exist between us. You have called us all to be your special people, your new creation people. You have called all of us to be the light of the world. You have called us to be one with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the foundation, the cornerstone of our lives. Lord, we ask this morning that you help us to live into that. In a world where we're so divided and polarized, in a world where people are at each other's throats constantly, help us to live into what you have called us to be. We thank you for remembering us, for gathering us as members of your beautiful, wonderful household, of this people that belongs to you. And so we give you thanks this morning and ask that you help us to proclaim that good news to a world that sorely needs it, sorely needs to see who we are, so that they too might be able to live into the vision of your coming kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.